Now that your picture's in the paper being publicly admired, you can have it, a one that you have ever desired. All you gotta tell me now is why, why.
Hi everyone, I'm Laura Konreuther, and you are listening to Work, a program where we talk to neighbors about their working lives and the relationship between work and the places we live. What are the different work trajectories that people pursue? And what kind of work do people bring to this area, or bring people to this area? Today, Max and I talk to John, a person many of us know by name or by face, who runs the premier hot dog stand in Hudson. While sitting at his truck, John told us the story of his multifaceted career, working in a hardware store, in many businesses, at Showtime, Nickelodeon, and finally making his way to the Hudson Valley to work in real estate and as a hot dog vendor.
Is this on?
So often we start off by asking people if you can remember the first experience you had that you would call work.
Yeah. And it was in a hardware store. I was 15 years old, and I got to work all day, and I made $22. And at the end of the day, the guy gave me $25. And my excitement was not equaled since then. I mean, that was the most exciting work day of my life. You know,
and how did you, where was this?
In Westchester.
In Westchester, New York.
And yeah. Uh-huh. In fact, in Scarsdale.
Uh-huh.
And I worked at the local hardware store.
How did you end up getting that work? Did you know somebody there, or would you just walk in and say, I need a job?
I just walked in and said, I need a job. I went in with I was in there, and I may have been referred by a friend, but actually don't remember. That's gone. I don't know where. It'll come back to me at some point. But I was in high school and I was looking for, it was summer employment. There it was.
Uh-huh.
Summer employment.
Uh-huh.
And I knocked the doors of the local stores,
uh-huh,
to find an appropriate job. And the hardware store said, come do it.
And at that point, or at some point, do you ever remember thinking about what your work life would be like?
Sure.
I mean, imagining when you were young, what kind of things you would do
yeah.
for work.
Yeah.
What kinds of things did you?
I was going to own a huge company. I was going to own a huge company. And as you can see, you know, things don't always happen the way you think. Or, you know, at least not so far.
Right.
I've started another company, but hasn't happened yet.
Right. So, did you have anyone in your background who did own a huge company,
yep,
or who were aspiring to the same
yep.
kinds of things?
Yeah, my father. My
yeah.
father did. And
what did he do?
He started a business machines company that was like Xerox,
uh-huh,
and died in an airplane crash when I was 8 years old. So I used to shadow him, and at 8 years old, I came home and there was a party. And they said, oh, you have to take care of your mother and your brothers. And the guy didn't finish the sentence, which was tonight, because I gave her a pill to make her sleep. And so for 30 years, I took care of my own spouse, my brothers, my parental unit. And then somebody said, well, you don't have to do that. After it took 30 years before I found somebody, but so that's what it was. And he started a huge company, huge. His partner had a house on the water on Long Island Sound, helicopter with pontoons in the backyard, and found a way to do stock things. So he made a lot of money. Nobody else did. So that's the.
And what did he? Whatever became of that company after he died?
They flourished for a while and then they folded, mm-hmm, when their patent expired, etc. So it was a dramatic experience that one would not have predicted. But so that's what started that oh, I've got to run a company. Right. So I have a direct response marketing company in the city. Mm-hmm. I've made maybe half a dozen companies, large ones, small ones. I used to make commercials for Nickelodeon. I was MTV and Nickelodeon.
So you were doing producing and yeah. Nickelodeon?
Right. My stepfather was a shot Elvis from the waist up, so on the Ed Sullivan Show. So I grew up with him doing continuity errors. So if you watch television and somebody starts with a long cigar or a long cigarette or a short one, and then you cut to the next part in the scene and the cigarette or the cigar is longer, then it's a continuity error. So grew up in that perspective, worked in sales and marketing, in cable television, and then shifted to production. And the idea was to make commercials for MTV and Nickelodeon and make a bajillion dollars, which worked for a while. In 1978...
What is that?
This is... Showtime is a network that shows movies and stuff. It's like HBO.
But, I mean, what is this album...
I worked at Showtime when they were... I was one of the first six people at Showtime.
Oh, okay.
And so this is their number one newsletter, how you launched in those days, and this is me showing people how to answer questions about Showtime.
What was your role at Showtime?
I did the world's first putting together Showtime and HBO. I did the world. I made $84 million in pre-tax incremental profit, and I was director of sales administration for Showtime.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I did their motel structure. Their I taught people how to sell Showtime. Mm-hmm. Movies, uninterrupted. Mm-hmm. And that was when there were dinosaurs and stuff like that. Oh, you had to walk uphill to the office, and going home was also uphill. It's a joke. Okay, good, it worked. And I had Sailboat in Manhattan, and it was the only one that was paid for, and I was the only one with a flat stomach. I could see my feet with it and have no banknote. And it was great, it was great. And
when was this?
The late 80s, mid 80s, uh-huh. Yeah. And then you get a spouse who leaves the planet and goes after two or three other marriages. I raised my child from being really work-focused to being daddy.
Uh-huh.
And so I raised
my... At that point, what was your work? Was it Nickelodeon?
I was doing Nickelodeon and MTV and doing... I did a commercial called Sync a Dink, which is on the web, and it was on so long that I could go to a supermarket, and if I was checking out and talking to the person, little children would pull at their mother's pant leg and point up at me because they knew only $19.95 plus $3.50 postage and handling, and you had to say handling because otherwise it sounded like New York.
Here's how to order.
Send $19.95 plus $3.50 postage and handling to Sync a Dink at this address. And if you order now, you'll also get, as a bonus, an unbreakable kids mirror, which fits directly onto the Sync a Dink. That's a $15 value at no additional cost. Our Sync a Dink and mirror package is not available anywhere else, only through this TV offer. Call this toll-free number to order only if you're a grown-up with Visa or MasterCard, or send check or money order to Sync a Dink at this address. TV marketing by Salk & Associates, Scarsdale, New York. Order yours right now.
How did you get into... You had a stepfather, you said, who was involved in television.
Yeah.
How did you end up actually getting into Nickelodeon? What was the route? How does one do that?
I had a company that took products and put them on the air. And I changed...
What kind of products?
Usually direct response, which you would call it as seen on TV products, because everything else required $1 billion to get involved with. And I did it just before Time Life started doing it. So I had a variety of kids products. All my products were kids oriented, because as a parent of a young child, you don't, whether you have money or not, whether you have interest or not, you'll do anything for your kid. You'll do, and it doesn't have to be a holiday time, doesn't have to be Christmas, doesn't have to be a birthday, and especially if it's educational. Anything that's educational for kids, a parent, somebody who went to mommy school or daddy school would do in a New York minute. So that was my business model. So that's why I did Nickelodeon as opposed to MTV.
Nice.
I mean, I did do products for MTV, but they were temporary tattoos, which was a lot of fun to shoot and a lot of, but you know, the mechanism of somebody going to mom or dad, and this is before tattoos were popular the way they are today, and it was a way to put them on, they wouldn't come off with water, and to go to mom and dad and say, oh, give me $19.95, I wanna buy something from television, what do you want, a tattoo? Usually the answer was no. So, but I had the sailboat, so it didn't matter. No, I just, and life was great, but you know, you learn, you make, you
try. What kinds of, I mean, were you basically just looking for products to sell, and you figured the model was who's going to buy, parents are going to buy for their kids, or were you involved with your kids and realized that you yourself were you know, doing this,
yeah,
buying various things? How did that sort of emerge?
Good question. And the answer is both. That most of the time it was, if there was a product, people already had invented a product, so I didn't want to have to invent it. It's hard enough to market it. And so I would go to Toy Fair. I had a variety of people who were in the 800 number business and the fulfillment business and things like that, and they would they'd bring me products. So my,
well, what is the fulfillment business?
Fulfillment is that you send $19.95, you give them your Visa MasterCard, and somebody takes the Visa MasterCard and then puts it in a box and sends it to you. And if it comes the wrong size or it comes broken or whatever, they fulfill the order, is why it's called fulfillment business. So it fulfills the, where is my Vegematic, if it's a kitchen thing, or where is my something of a lifetime. So what traffic noise? I appreciate your patience.
No problem.
And so I was a real estate person. For years I've been in real estate. And it was wonderful, I was gonna open my own business. And I fell down the back step of my old farmhouse that I had been living in for 10 years. And one night, thinking cereal or ice cream, I fell down the steps. And didn't open my own brokerage. And then the market tanked. So the market's been very difficult lately. My idea was to figure out something where I didn't need to rely on lawyers or other realtors or other facts of nature, where I could actually make a transaction, complete a transaction in a day. And the way to do that was either a standout with a metal cup and pencils, or nowadays it's a metal cup and flash drives, or the next step up, just a little further up, is a hot dog wagon.
Uh-huh.
And so that's where I am today.
And how did you end up coming up to this area to do this? Had you been coming up to this area for a while?
No, I did. I came up here for, I was in the city. I have an apartment in the city, and came up once with a friend to go to Taconic, Lake Taconic, and did a honeymoon up here instead of going to Bermuda or whatever. We got kayaks and we went to the lake. And so, and then the apartment in the city, because it wasn't rent stabilized, it was in a brownstone, and the landlord said, well, we're gonna take your rent up to $1 billion a month. And the idea was, oh, let's get a house up here. And so that was a dozen years ago. And so I have a historic old farmhouse with barns and six garages, and everything's full. I have cars with propellers and motorcycles with sidecars and tractors and picker-uppers and skid steers. And
this is in this kind of just outside of Hudson.
Livingston.
Oh, okay.
And I'll show you a picture, which really looks good on radio.
Uh-huh.
Had you tried the bender out in the city before you came up here and did it?
Which bender?
The
vendor.
Yeah.
No, I never did this before. This was when I said that I was going to do it, I got laughed at by family and friends because nobody thought that I would have the nerve or the ego release to be able to do it. I work in a real estate office, which is in Chatham. And so I had one lady, and I started the first year I did this, I did it with very dark glasses and my hat pulled down over my face. And there was a lady in Chatham who said, I heard about you in Chatham. I came all the way down to get a hot dog. And I said, I work in Chatham too. And I gave her my card. And she said, oh no, you work at the desk next to mine. And we had never met. And so, because I'd never go up, because Chatham is very far away, but never gone up there. And I worked for a couple of real estate companies. One was here in Hudson, and for a year or so, I've rented apartments for clients up and down Warren Street, in all over Hudson. And my specialty was rentals, which is more difficult than sales. Sales is hit and run, and it's done. Rentals, you really have to marry a landlord and a tenant, and you have to take care of them for a full year. I've had tenants after 6 months say, well, I did two loads of laundry and I don't know how to turn the hot water or heater on. So I would.
And you have to take care of that.
Don't have to, but I did. Because I'm Mr. Realty. And just was, took very good care. A nurturer.
So how do you think that the work, you know, doing the transactions here, in terms of just the dailiness of who you interact with, is at all similar or different than real estate? Are there any similarities? Are there any, or is it so fundamentally different?
Fundamentally, it's 180 degrees. I have all the realtor people that I know who kind of snickered for the first umpteen months when they come by and would see me, and I could see them and hear them up the block laughing, and look what how he's rolled backwards. And then at the end of the day, nobody has misrepresented or been confused or whatever. If they want sauerkraut and they grew up having sauerkraut, they know it, and they don't say, I want mustard or relish or something. If it's sauerkraut, they reveal exactly what they want. Very few people come up and say, I want you to take me around everywhere that you can buy a hot dog in the city, in the county, and then at the end I'll decide I want a turkey sandwich. They all come up, they want hot dogs. And you can't have a hot dog every day. And my better half is a nutritionist, so I'm speaking from a professional perspective.
Does she come to the stand sometimes?
In fact, she worked it last week. She worked it in Chatham. They had a street fair, and so I plopped her in front, and I gave her an apron, and I said, go to it. And she's different than me. She's very nice. But and she took the money, and she gave out the drinks, and had never done this before. Uh-huh. And she's non-judgmental or whatever. Hey, Ashley, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good, you look fabulous today. Just look like summer. So I get to see 100 people every day, and everybody's, most people are nice. Some people are nice, not on this planet, but on the planet that they're living on. But most people are wonderful. And salt is something that you can't replace. Sugar is something that's got a bunch of replacements, but not salt. So that was a business model.
That you go with salt.
I give three things. Salt, attention, and praise. There are four things that people can't live without, but salt, attention, and praise are three. And so those are, that's a business. That's the behind the scene business model. You know, take note, radio listeners.
So how does this need for salt relate to your other work that you're doing with this hydration?
It's nothing more than, this is physical exercise. In the middle of the winter, I love the fact that I don't have to do this. I have the cart in the barn. On rainy days, it doesn't work. So as soon as it rains, I'm joyous because I don't have to go to work. I lift 500 pounds every day of cans and pushing this cart is 880 pounds empty, and it's filled with whatever, and I have to empty it every night. So it's physical, it's like work that you do as a teenager, and it's work. However, at the end of the day, it's joyous to be able to have a real result, as opposed to working in another thing, where if you're gonna make, try to pitch somebody on doing a TV commercial, you may end up feeding them croissant and whatever, and going to meetings and Federal Express packages in the past, and they'd say, I don't know, we're thinking about it, or I have a brother who has a camera and can shoot it, or whatever. And so completing is good. That's why working in real estate and rentals, actually getting somebody who couldn't possibly feel that they could find this special place, and they found them a place, and they got a landlord that would get along with them. Or I avoided situations where it would be difficult for them. So it's just the being able to complete a cycle, a transaction, an interaction with people, which doesn't happen in other things. And while I was doing this, I decided to create a foundation, 501c3. Hey, how are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Good.
Hey, how are you?
So, see, you, everybody know everybody.
You know everybody.
I know.
Well, is he wanting to come in?
He'll be back. And then I'm making enough dogs to take care of the world. So, it's getting to be a crazy time for a hot dog. But it's great at the end of the day to actually have activity. I saw the old broker that I work with the other day who came by, and he apparently had a closing, and it had been a long time since he had had a closing, which means he sold a house, and they were passing paper and documents and checks back and forth. And realtors never work with cash. It's in fact illegal for a realtor to do anything in cash. Everything has to be a check or whatever. And the difference, and he said, how are you doing? And I was able to go and show him and go like this and go fine and show and wave around dollar bills and tens and twenties. And I'm in front of the bank, and sometimes I have too many 20s and I can't make change, so I have to run in and out, and I have to do it without feeling the air conditioning is a secret, and also knowing what people want is another thing that I've learned, meaning that if you're a bartender, you know if somebody's a scotch or a bourbon or a vodka or whatever drinker, and here I know who has sauerkraut and who likes chili and who is ketchup only. And you can also tell where they grew up.
Because, by what they order?
Yeah, really? Because it's memories, a lot of memories. And stereotypically, if you're in New York City, if you're a New York City person, it's sauerkraut and mustard. And if you're in the Midwest, it's relish and ketchup. And if you're elsewhere, it's chili. And it's amazing to see the grandfather, grandmother with their grandson, daughter, and the child to say, I want the same thing. And you can see a memory being actually built.
Do you have memories of going to stands like this?
No, none. No, because my parental unit was gone. I never had this. Nobody ever took me to a baseball game. Nobody ever. After eight, I was taking care of, siblings. So I had an unusual, so no, this isn't a childhood dream or a childhood memory. And I took the course online for food service, which is, and I took it the course in Manhattan. And they said, what language do you want it in? And I said, I'd like it in English, please. And they were disappointed because it was in 32 individual languages in the city, the food service handling. And the unusual experience that I had there was, they said, instead of getting 50 questions or whatever, and I got 96, I got two wrong. And I said, great, which two did I get wrong? And they said, well, we can't tell you. And so that was disheartening.
Yeah.
Because What do you mean you can't tell me?
That's where you're supposed to learn something.
That's right. Yeah. You know, you can't store this. And there were a couple of judgment calls, you know.
Yeah.
But don't store this this way or don't do that or whatever. Hey, how are you?
Okay.
Good.
So how did you choose Hudson as the place to put this stand? Did you have other places? Were you in Chatham first or did you?
No, it just, this was the highest. Oh, I do have a, the answer is, I was working at Rhinebeck at the time. Last place I was Rhinebeck. But the advantage of Hudson as compared to any other town is that there's a train station. This is a place to go to without transport. You can jump on Amtrak and go up and down, and it's therefore urban. And the demographic here is spread, having worked this up and down the street and know many of the landlords and many of the apartments and many of the residents. There's a demographic mix that's unlike Chatham, as an example, where it's you've got to have a car to go there. And it's a different demographic, more monolithic type of upscale resident.
So is this the first and only location for the card? Have you tried some other places around town and then kind of...
I did it in front of my house. I'm on Route 9, and so there are 10,000 cars that go by. And I found that this is easier. And the reason is that on Route 9, the speed limit's 55. And for me to stop people, you know, if I look like Laura, I'd stop people. But it's tough for me to stop them. Even in a clown costume, believe me, I've tried.
But you didn't try, like, even other blocks in Hudson, just came right here?
Oh, no, I knew because of real estate. Uh-huh. The three most important things in real estate, you know them. Three most important things in real estate are location, location, and location.
Right.
Are the three things. See, you didn't even know, but you know that. So here I am, location. I'm between three of the most important things in Hudson. I'm between DMV, which is year-round, is not, you know, dependent on the bank, and the liquor store,
mm-hmm.
are the three most important entities in Hudson.
Right. Uh-huh. So do you feel the diversity of Hudson, you actually see that diversity?
Absolutely. Everything from one end, from soup to nuts, as it were. And there's decidedly upscale demographics and the opposite. There are a lot of people who can't afford to eat that I've been feeding. I've fed for 2 years. That in some cases they'll say, I don't have enough money to eat, and I shove a hot dog in them. And I've made it so they don't walk around hungry, which is more exciting than the gentleman who's going to come by and want six hot dogs. Hallelujah. I mean, for both, but for the person where you can actually see that you, that you've cured hunger. I've had people drop off food that they... and they don't know who to give it to, and I've ended up passing it, not from the cart, but from my car, to people who are hungry, who have teenagers they can't feed. It's fabulous.
People give you food?
People have given me extra food that I put in the car and give out.
How do they know to give it to you?
Because they've heard that I've given out food to the hungry folks and whatever. And there's some people who have maybe gotten it through the system, through, you know, and it's not something that I can do professionally, I just personally. To say, here, take this home, it's an orphan, take it home. And so there'd be a box, but it's not really nutritious stuff. I mean, it's a box of crackers or a box of cookies or a bag of whatever, and usually perishables. So they have a specific life. And at the end of my products, lives, like the chips, etc. When they have a date, and when you start to approach the date where it's going to go bad, I give it away. But I don't give it away to customers. I give it away to hungry folks, and I know who they are because I see them go up and down. I will note that in this, it's a physical job. It's an emotional and a psychological job, and it's all all things. You're not a bartender, but you're a hot dog tender. So, and you hear the psychological challenges. People pour out their life drama, their recency, what they've gone through. That I've had people who've been there with children who are passing, who come back because the last event they had when their child, their 20-something child, passed away from whatever condition, the last thing they did was they had a hot dog. So I have them come back. I have the ones who came with a grandma, a grandpa, and grandpa passed away, and this is the last thing that they, one of the last things. So I have them, and that I have, I also have the folks where you can tell that they say that they don't have the money to be able to afford food, yet they're smoking a cigarette. The people who can't afford food always are able to afford a cigarette. So it's priorities. So I take care of the food one. If I had done it differently, I would want to be selling, you know, cigarettes. It would have been a more profitable business. Hey, how are you?
Good.
We're going to do it, dog.
Here we go. We're back for six.
There you go.
All right. We're ready for you.
Yeah, can I get one with mustard, onions, and sauce?
Sure. I started off doing this with bicycle wheels, with a little teeny cart on the back of a trailer, like you carry a gardening tractor. And I set it up here, and I made it look like I blew off of 6th Avenue. You know, just like boom, like I ended up here. And I did it for the first year. I did it until Flag Day. And then on Flag Day, it rained. And it was so wet that I went to Brooklyn and got this cart. So I have another cart that's got just bicycle wheels. And I'm used to working in the rain or in the wind, where you have to hold the dollar and you have to hold the thing that will blow away and stuff like that. So you can't do this in real estate. I'm showing a thing of money. And the other thing that I do is every time I write down what it was, when it was, how many it was, what the weather was. It was 56 and clear on 4/18. It was 55 and cloudy, and there was.
So you notice a pattern?
I can feel a pattern, and it's my marketing side.
How long have you had this cart? You went to Brooklyn. When?
This year only, end of last year. The second part of last year, the end of last year. And so it was after Flag Day. It was maybe the last month or two of the year. So, and then it's warmer in November. Yay, it's warm and finally, where this is the better weather than out there. And,
you know. Has Flag Day been your biggest day of sales?
Flag Day is usually, Flag Day is my biggest here. Because, and bigger than Memorial Day. Memorial Day is, my experience was that there are four old men like myself who are standing on the sidewalk, and then five old men walking down the street, and eight fire engines. More fire engines than people on this street. You know, and nobody buys during Memorial Day is my my experience. So you're learning all the hot dog stuff, and I know that the other hot dog people won't, you know.
Where you said earlier, there's a couple things I just wanted to follow up on.
Sure.
You said earlier you're raising your children. Are your children around the area here?
My son is in Albany, and he is. He got out of college. He got his MS in computer programming. Then he got his MBA in business administration. Then he got his JD, so lawyer. And then he passed the bar, is what he wanted for graduation. And then I said, well, do something honest with your life. Don't be a lawyer, was my, you know, half joking. And he
became president of Mensa in Albany, from Albany to the Canadian border. And that's what he's, and he is a college professor at a community college. And I said, what you could teach at RPI or at Harvard or whatever. And he said, no, this is easier. This is easier, and I get 4.5 months off a year. So he just texted me from Seattle, where he said that he just got back from wherever in Canada. He's back in Seattle, and they're driving him to the motel. He's taking a shuttle to the motel. It's either that or they're going to harvest his organs, one of the two. And that he, and which he actually had on the text message. And then I texted him back and asked if his organs were attached, and he said, indeed. To be continued. Pause. Yeah. Hey, how are you?
Good. Can I get a hot dog?
Absolutely.
With
what
mustard?
Would you like on it?
Just mustard.
So, okay, so I hear two things in all of your story. One is just you became the family nurturer, caregiver at a very early age. You had to take care of your family, and that's what you envision your work in some ways, taking care of people.
Okay.
And that's one thing I hear. And then the other thing I hear is just this, the business idea. Go out, get a thriving business, make a lot of money, and that's a good,
Yeah, life. That's a challenge.
That's a challenge.
To try it every day. Oh, okay. Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
I'm good.
Hot dog with mustard and relish, please.
Yep. Go, oh, we got
Thank
it?
You. Okay, so I just wanted to hear whether you see those two things coming together, where you see them challenge in putting those two things together,
yeah.
And how that is changed over the years for you.
I look at it as baseball, and one is swinging for the stands to hit a home run, be Babe Ruth and point and say, oh, I'm going to hit a home run, is the way I have, is more natural for me than hitting a single. This is a single. This is, I can get to first base. I can absolutely do that, and I'm reminded of that every day. At the same time, one of the things that I did in my entrepreneurial direction, looking for customers, was seeing they're really subred and frozen is much better. To take them and to freeze them is better from a health department perspective because they stay cold below 40 degrees or above 140 are the two places that stuff should be. Oh, but I digress. So one of the things I tried to do, because I think outside the box, is I created a water brand for California called Karma Quench. And I launched it in California and I sold 40,000 bottles, and my partner had a challenge with putting money in the bank. So I closed the brand, and one of the things I created as a give back was a concept called hydration education, which taught kids to drink water, any kind of water. Doesn't have to be from a fancy bottle, just has to be clean water. Don't drink seawater, don't drink dirty water. And don't drink sugary drinks. It's better to drink water because plants know this secret. And it's the company that I now have. So that's gonna be my, if it all works out, that's my next life, and maybe won't be doing this so much. You know, but who knows? They'll interview Mimi.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll go away.
All right, I love you from my toes. We'll see you soon.
Yep.
Okay. I have a variety of folks who come and just kind of rest. I've had elderly people who can't make it to the top of the block. I have like a way station for...
Got a nice shady awning here, and
well, yeah, but they don't. There's shade elsewhere, so they don't come for the shade. But the shade's not bad.
They come for the conversation,
or just to know that there is the safety. It's more as opposed to downloading. It's more it's safety. It's just that they're in a place where nobody's going to be critical of them, even though they're not. They don't have deep pockets or. Are incredibly creative or whatever. is safe haven is my is the vibe,
right.
One of the vibes,
right.
And so the hydration education thing is gonna, if knock wood, is gonna be my my big corporate play. And so far I've been approved by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the Mayo Clinic, International Bottled Water Association. I've got New York State, the Department of Education. I have a 501c3 corporation, which means that it's been approved by a corporation. And it's right now it's a couple of weeks away from IRS finally approving it.
Uh-huh.
So then I can give, I've given out lessons for quite some time, and I can give out, now I can give tax deductions for contributions. So I can get donations, and I can put on I have a collar, but I can put on a tie is what it's called. And it's been so long, a sport jacket, suit and a tie.
So will you be still interested or and able to do this if your corporate enterprise takes off?
I'd be able to, and I probably would want to do it. In fact, I'd look for somebody among your listening audience who would be interested in either supplementing the hours that I put in, or somebody who would like to work in an environment like this where it's challenging, and you can't be above 5'7". I mean, it's another, you just can't be, unless, you know, but anybody who can fit in here, and or if they're taller and they have their head bent over, will also work.
Okay.
You know.
So do you have any memories of going to hot dog stands with your son? You didn't know
yeah.
the child.
No, I took my kid to a couple of hot dogs. Well, we lived a block off of Central Park. So we would ride, and I put him, it was a seat arrangement where instead of it being behind you, it was in front of you and had little foot pegs. So he could fit, I could ride him, and he would be holding on to the handlebar on the bicycle. And so we'd go around Central Park, was our backyard. So we would see vendors and stuff like that. But his mother had dietary restrictions, and so I really didn't do hot dogs with the kid. Maybe ice cream with the kid, but not, the little boy was, and my joke is a little boy now picks me up and throws me in the air and says, look at my little dad. And then you have to say, I say quickly, put me down, I'm old. And then you have to do it with a certain pace, and then he does. It's a reflex art. And
does he come here now?
Yeah, occasionally he'll come down, and he will be, it's a full, the cycle of life, because I see him with me and tapping his shoe, like, how many more hours do I have to pretend to be good, which is what I did my entire life with, a parental unit or whatever, that kind of standing there for a while and stuff like that. Hey, young man.
How you doing?
We're doing okay. They're doing a radio interview.
Hot dogs, relish?
Yeah.
Killer mustard?
Yeah. I know it. I have it on my tattoo.
What do you think the relation is between your work and fun?
Between work and fun?
Your work that you do and fun.
And fun, my own fun
your
or
own
other people's?
Your own fun or other people's fun.
Oh, my own fun is that I see completion. It's fun to actually see something happen. I used to teach my kid the difference between creation and destruction. And we did it with a tomato plant. And creation took forever. And you have to water it, and you wait for a month, and you wait for the darn thing to grow. Destruction happens faster. You just go stamp, it's gone. So every day I create completion, and that's fun. As far as the fun, it's more fun for other people than for me, and I give everybody about 15 seconds of joy a day. Some people take 30 seconds to eat the hot dog, but mostly it's 15 seconds of joy, and everybody walks away happy. Nobody goes away depressed. Nobody is untouched, not only inside but outside and then inside, where you just kind of grab a hold of their spirit. You're feeding their mind, their body, their spirit. And they, all three of them, go away having been, like hugged, is the idea, as opposed to just throwing food at them. And you can feel that it's done the right way. And it's not as easy as it looks. And the hardest part about hot dogs are the buns. And because I'm a, quote, genius, close quote, and decided to give people choices of everything, and then there are, 45 different variables, which means that I have to remember each one and be able to do it. And then, like the gentleman here will say, my regular, my usual. And then many times I'm correct, and sometimes I'm not. But so the fun is just that everybody walks away with that, with a warm fuzzy and stuff like that. There, and everybody loves it. I mean, there's nobody who finds it to be a negative feeling. I haven't had one person go away and say, oh, it's not, I don't feel better than when I started.
Did you ever have anyone get sick?
No, but I'll tell you the story that they sent from one of the beauty parlors, I guess that's the term, salons. They sent somebody up once, and when I first started, and she came up, and then I didn't see her for 2 weeks. And then she came up with an order for the whole salon. And I said, well, how come I haven't seen you in 2 weeks? Because I'm, as you can tell, very shy. And she said, well, they sent me up just to see if I get sick. So she was like the probe that went out there. And I say with pride that she, and I see her every day and going up and down. And people all stop and wave, but not everybody stops to eat. They're allowed to go eat somewhere else. I've had people who have been in an angry mood. I've had one lady who came up, she's on their cell phone, and she is screaming, red face screaming, Carlos,
hey,
how you doing, buddy?
All right.
He's 78 years old and does x number of miles a day. So I had the lady come up and was screaming up to the window and red-faced and into the phone and you can shove and you can this and into, and then she said, oh, I'd like a hot dog. And all of a sudden, I backed up, and my line is that they know where I work, so I don't want to make them sad. And afterwards, she just started to smile, had the hot dog, and her mood changed. I can change moods. People have said to me, my day was ruined. And I said, why? And they said, well, because you weren't here yesterday. And to have the ability to change somebody's life, or whether the day was good or not, is way cool. Here, and this one's on, this stuff's on me.
Oh, no.
Here, you want mustard or ketchup?
Mustard, please.
A brown or yellow or Grey Poupon?
Yellow.
Yellow it is.
John's story of work, like many we have interviewed, might be seen as the American dream in reverse. It is a story of our times. From a businessman bringing in several millions to a hot dog vendor and real estate agent on the streets of Hudson, John is now working towards building a huge company of his own and holds out for the day when Karma Water will make it big. Selling hot dogs is not only a secure way to put real cash in John's pocket every day, it's a way for him to know everyone on the block, to feed the hungry, to hear stories of loss and hope. Sometimes a hot dog is not just a hot dog. It's connected to people's memories and can signify where a person is from. Sauerkraut, relish, or mustard are the stuff of nostalgia. And as John puts it, getting a hot dog is, for many, like getting a hug.
Games, knew the players by their first names, told the umpire he was wrong all along, good and strong. When the score was just 2-2, Katie Casey knew what to do, just to cheer up the boys she knew, she made the gang sing this song. Take me out to the ball game, take me out with the crowd, buy me some peanuts and crackers.
jam in one hand and a pick in the other. Well, I can do more work than my brother. Don't hurt me. Well, I look over yonder and what I see, the old water boy coming after me. Sometimes he be running, then again he be jumping. Oh, you ought to hear my sledgehammer pumping. Well, I want to tell you, and I'm going to tell you time and again, it was a terrible wind. It was my sledgehammer. I'm a man amongst me. Word for a little bit of pain. Sweat running off everywhere. Oh, I'm a working man.